It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Swizzy.
Big J. It's the Town Podcast. And we got a family friend to the show. Family.
No doubt.
We got Mr. Darren Freedom Green back on the show.
No doubt.
We're going to, you know, kick some game.
Yeah, we haven't had him on since
The election.
Run. Yeah, the run for the election and stuff like that. And
how'd that work out?
Not too good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But we wasn't experienced enough.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
but the jewel I'm going to leave for you is, how's it been with the experienced people? Yeah.
The same. More of the same. To be honest, more of the same.
Right.
Unfortunately, with politics, when you see, because I was reading up and, or just, you know, trying to see what they put out there, and it's that system, man, it's hard to break.
No doubt.
Hard to break into.
Yeah.
And then especially when they know your intentions.
Right.
And
it's all control.
Yeah.
The intentions would be well. You know, our whole campaign, our whole platform, it shook them because we aren't a part of the controlled population. You know, we're not going to move in the manner they want us to. We're going to be specifically giving thought to and putting resources for and empowering the population that's marginalized, depressed, and been isolated.
Do you think that hurts us as far as like the hope of voting?
Because it does.
You got, even when we go to, okay, local, you know, and they say how important local voting is and local elections and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So when you at the local level and you trying to do your due diligence, even though we're not informed and we got a lot of issues that we got to deal with to even want something and to demand something, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you watch it, and then you got the politics at the lower level, shit is all mixed up, all crazy, you know, right? What I mean, controlled, and it's not going anywhere, it seems. And then you get these politicians at the higher level, that's, you got all these people running for office now,
no doubt.
And playing the game, and right. It's like, well, damn, we can't even get the local elections right.
Right. Well, you know, it comes from a lack of, you nailed it already, the lack of education. You know, you have to educate people on the civic reality and civic responsibility that is wrapped within the circumference of their voting. Like when you talk now, I'll just give you two issues. People now are ecstatic about the minimum wage being elevated, right? That's a policy issue. That doesn't happen unless people work with their elected officials to produce that.
Right.
You know, so to say your vote doesn't count or it doesn't amount to anything or it doesn't give you an opportunity to have it directly impact your day-to-day reality, well, going from $7 to $15 certainly speaks volumes in terms of your economic reality, right? So that's a policy-based issue, which you want to let the people on the ground know, hey, you did this.
Absolutely.
So what I always say when I'm dealing with politics is you want to be able to show people small victories.
Okay.
If you can deal with small victories, and it'll show them that the small energy they're putting into the civic process, civic responsibility, the election cycle, and just being civically responsible all year long, not just elections. Because like you see now, we talked about it on the show, people got involved, and now where are they? I'm talking about candidates and the people.
Yeah.
So during the election cycle, people had all kind of discussions, podcasts, questions.
Yeah.
Now those same people can't be found.
Yeah, and then that, and it's not the politicians' fault, the
Mm-mm.
ones that got elected, because if you're not holding them accountable,
right.
then they're not going to do anything,
right.
especially if they not from the cloth anyway. You know what I'm saying? But speaking of the $15 an hour, you know, what are the downside of it? Because the first thing I'll think of is, all right, now even in our city, in a city where the cost of living isn't that high, considering certain places, you know what I'm saying? Once people that's getting minimum wage, and I know it increases, and it's not like going to happen overnight,
right?
But the inflation is, unfortunately, at the rate we're going, we're never going to catch up to being able to live right with capitalism. Right. You know what I'm saying? So
the system is built for us to fail.
They have the right. So now they're going to look so at it live, as in,
all right, so now gas going to go up.
Y'all making
it
so
your
that's
groceries
going to
go
price,
up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Fast food restaurants are installing computers now.
It's crazy.
It's already out there. Like a certain Wawa's, not Wawa's, certain Wendy's, certain McDonald's, you order from the joint and go straight to the
and
your food is there. So they only got to pay the cooks $15 an hour. Right. Everything else is.
I heard one time I heard on the radio or something that when the supermarkets got the automatic ones, it might have been a worker or something like that. They're like, you're taking a job from somebody that was a cashier.
No
so
doubt.
You know what I do when I go to the supermarket?
I go to the cashier.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, right. But that is true though. You know what I'm saying? These jobs and these people, that the messed up part about it is the politicians give them incentives to not use people.
Look at Walmart. Like, they have two sections. The new Walmart, our Wilbur section.
Yeah, it is.
They have one when you first on each entrance. They have a section for self checkout.
Yeah,
and they're more popping than the regular lines.
Yeah, because you can use your card and everything. Yeah. One is card, one is cash. Yeah. Like the girl,
yeah. So
she's like, are you card?
Are you cash? Yeah. So they're gonna start replacing humans with computers. Like my daughters are able to start working now.
Right.
So
right.
Now they can only go to Rita's, Wegmans or the bowling alley. But I remember starting out at a McDonald's or a grocery store.
But the degree you have to deal with now is we have to begin to start educating our community to move past those lower level jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of just running towards them and now structuring your study habits or your career development plan to get around it. Like it's getting to a point within the next 5 years, a high school diploma won't get it. A BA won't get it. You're going to have to be able to have like a master's degree. Yeah. And this comes from somebody who don't have none of that.
And also those degrees that kind of, not say they don't mean anything, but not the ones that's specific to a certain thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you might like art. You know what I mean? Take art, but not as your major. Take it as, you know what I mean, the secondary thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Focus on engineering or building, something that you can really
work off of.
Yeah, you can work off of. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can add to the equation. You know what I mean? You got to build. Because, and you know the statistics with us, we were more educated, especially our sisters, we were more educated, but some of these degrees that we're getting is literature.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Different things like that. When it's a good field, and I want you to want to be a teacher or something like that. You know what I mean?
But some teachers
you gotta
are
get
not
the
even
bread.
Yeah, right. Then, the bread. Then, some teachers not even lasting.
And then at this point, the debt that follows these degrees.
Right, crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
So, that's my current battle right now. I was thinking about going back to school for music production. So like now with free college being free at Mercer, that's basically my best bet.
No, that's your path.
That's my best bet. Because I might want to do Full Sail University.
Yeah. And they'll
but that's $75,000, $80K.
But once you go down to Mercer,
right,
they will help you lay out a path to go to, you know, what your credits are transferable.
Correct.
They're connected to like four different schools. I can't, like William and Patterson.
Rutgers.
So you're able to take what you do there and transfer it.
Which is
what you want to do.
Correct.
And then cuts down on the amount of money you owe. Plus you want to get well versed in scholarships.
Right.
Because it's out there. I'm telling you,
free money out there.
A lot of times we don't maximize it because we don't want to do the work. There's essay writing, there's people you have to connect to, there's letters you have to get, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And in other communities, they're willing and committed to doing that work because, to your point, you can graduate now and have a degree, but you can owe $80,000 in debt. So how does that game work? And then you're coming out really institutionally imprisoned because you now have a debt that you're going to be with even somebody like an engineer. I know an engineer who graduated and he had like almost $90,000 in debt.
Damn. He was now, lucky.
And his degree and the job he went into will give him the ability to pay that back without going long term with it. But that's a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you make an excellent point when you say, you know, And my point I would say is, and I say this to the babies, when you begin to look at your career, when you begin to look at where you're going, when you begin to examine the degree you want to have, be very conscious of where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. Take a chance. I tell them now, I said, look online and study the world market. Study the global market. A lot of jobs are being phased out.
Right.
Like you were talking, both of y'all talking about earlier. You don't want to go get a degree in an area that's being phased out.
Correct.
You have to study and look at where the global economy is going. It directly impacts the local reality at some point. So if you're getting a degree in something, like you said, and that's your major, and it's an area that life really one isn't, you know, pushing a lot of resources there, then you're going to have a degree, but what you going to do with it?
I know, and I've seen a lot of people go and grab degrees, but now they're in call centers.
And then you know,
in call centers, working two or three jobs just to live and then pay those loans back.
Right.
It just puts us as a community further in debt.
Right.
And that's what keeps us behind the eight ball.
Right.
So it's like, and it's hard to be an entrepreneur and want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But we got to get out of this debt.
But that's that's the new temperature now, being an entrepreneur, things of that nature. Because it's like me personally, like I'm half and half. Like I work, but I also have a business now. Like right. I'm completely registered now. So my DJing is completely separate from who I am.
Right.
But I was fortunate enough to be able to have that talent that I can work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and maybe Sunday and still live like a person who works Monday through Friday.
Yeah, right. and at this point, it's extra money. And you have to work to finance your dream.
Right, right, exactly.
You can't just get the money from nowhere. Correct, so yeah. You working, it's not knocking you.
You might want to say that again.
You got to work to finance your dream.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
Correct,
you got to be able to have that cushion. And right now, we don't have no cushion. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Like, a lot of us in our community is working check to check. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of us have these degrees, still end up working check to check with student loans and stuff like that. So we just got to be more purpose. A friend of mine's father said one time, he's a Liberian, one of the smartest cats I know. He said, so what's your son going to be when he get older? I was like, I don't know. Like, whatever he wants to be. He said, shit, when I was five, my father told me what I was going to be.
Mm.
I was like, damn.
But and is then, that the way to be, though?
No, it's not. You got to let them be creative, but then you, at a certain point in time,
you
like where I'm
in.
At with my son, when he said the same thing about checking the global markets, I've been talking about like engineering to him. And I said, go and write down, because he, you know, he's 16, so he up and down sometimes. So write down 10 careers that's doing well, like at the most, you know what I'm saying? And when he came back, he was like, Dad, he was like, about five of them, at least five, were some sort of engineer.
Right.
I was like, well, there you go.
You're being intentional with your directives. You're being intentional with your teaching. And that's how you get success. Success and failure are direct products of our intentional thoughts and actions. Mm. It's not a mistake or error. It's not happenstance. If you're successful, there's a history or body of work you can look at and see. There are things you did to put you into position to do that. Mm. When you look at the Jewish community, right? They are intentional with their career development. I've talked to Jewish families. A lot of times they get the same thing that Liberian father said. They get told what they're going to be. You're going to be a lawyer, be a doctor. You know, they're aligned with specific careers. So success is not something that's happenstance. You're putting to a position where here's where you're going. This is how you're going to do it. And now the support system is laid out for them. Do I agree with that in terms of the creative individuality of the babies? No, because you could be doing something and be miserable.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And I know people who are making six-figure salaries, and they are like 2 degrees from jumping off the building because they're in a field of operation that's not them. So I'm agreeing with, we have to be intentional. I think what you're doing with your son is how it's supposed to be done. Like even with reclaiming our boys, right?
Right.
We're laying out a curriculum that is designed by the babies.
Right.
We're making you look at yourself and begin to say, where do you see yourself going? Because part of our problem, part of our failure, part of the perpetuation of poverty is a poor quality mentality.
Correct.
Where you allow life to happen to you. No, you have to happen to life.
Correct.
You've got to design it. You've got to look at it. Like, even when we start getting into the career and the curriculum and the orientation, if you're doing something in terms of a desire, you ought to go find five people that's doing that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now you have five physical blueprints to look at and see if that's really what you want to do. You
Correct.
Can look at their path of education. You can look at what they went through career-wise, because their biography will lay all that out for you.
Correct.
And you seeing it may say, I really ain't trying to do all that. Now you've learned that, yeah, you might have desired that, but you wasn't really committed.
You wasn't built for the work.
Nah, and I'm not saying that's going away from your purpose, but the reality of, like, for me, as like you said, with your business, right? I'm registered in my speaking, you know, that's just what I do. You know, if I'm not speaking nowhere, I have a serious attitude. You know how I get,
yeah.
You know, so that's what I was born to do. So you have to turn your purpose into a brand. Your brand has to become a business, and you've got to build it to be legitimate.
And that's what a lot of people are missing. And that's with Reclaiming Our Boys. First, I want to say thank you for inviting
me.
No doubt. Because I know we used to always sit
this
down.
Go back
talk.
To when you was at the mall with the phone.
Yeah, yes, sir. Always wanted the mentor, always wanted the show.
Man.
Because I look at it as in, like the debates we have when we talk about the whole options.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? How I always say everyone has options. You made me realize, Swizzy, that you're right. Everyone has options, but everyone doesn't know that they have options.
Right.
So they know their struggle. They know, all right, big brother, dad, uncle, cousin also sold drugs.
Yeah. Right.
That's my option. So right. I know the brother. So even Shane brought it up in one of the meetings. That it's the wall theory. You get what I'm saying? You look at a wall, you only see a wall. You don't know what's on the outside. You don't want to surround
right,
it.
Right.
So my whole thing is, not everyone's an athlete. Not everyone's going to be a rapper. Not everyone's going to be a DJ. Not everyone's an athlete.
Right.
So we have to give these babies their options. Like, you don't have to be an athlete. I know mommy and daddy has you in this football game or on this football team, but you haven't played yet. Or the only reason you played is because they have to play you.
Right.
So you're not an athlete. What is your secret talent? Like,
right.
What is it? Like, I still to this day blows my mind that one of my daughters knows how to draw. But me being, not say so busy or not paying attention, looking at it from a father's eye, like, stay off your phone, stay away from boys, pay attention to school. Instead of me really looking like, what is your talent other than cheerleading and makeup?
Right.
She can draw.
Right.
So it's just like, all right. So if someone would have noticed me musically when I was younger, and they would have put turntables in front of me, put me in piano class, put me in violin, something like that, it would have been different than me. Like, I didn't buy my first piece of DJ equipment until I graduated high school.
Right.
And I was working overnight at Best Buy, and I bought it from a now comedian who was a DJ, DJ Nick Ziakis.
Right.
I bought his equipment.
Right.
So it was just like, but I've always had equipment around me.
Right.
But that's why I got in it, to be able to tell the younger me, like, okay, you don't have to be a rapper, but you can write songs.
Right.
Like, you like writing, right? You write poetry.
Right.
Like, yeah, well, you know, you can put that in motion.
Right.
Oh, I can?
Most of our teaching, though, if you knew the knowledge of this, right, comes from a space of regret.
Right.
That's the jewel, Swizz, you know what I mean? So what I mean by that is, when you look at your life, right, the snapshot of it, and you start to reach back and teach, whether it's your son, your beautiful daughters, you're teaching them all the things you wish somebody had taught you.
Right.
So that's where the regret comes from. You're not looking at it as from a negative connotation and saying, man, I'm miserable. You're looking back and saying, nah, I'm giving you this jewel because I didn't learn it until I ran into five brick walls. I'm going to give you a GPS where you're not going to run into them walls.
Correct. So
early on, you're going to learn and find and define. I always say find and define, because once you find your purpose, now you have to define it. You have
Correct.
To give details to it. You have to deal with the orientation of building it up. You're a DJ. You have to get equipment. You have to build your brand. You have to get an LLC. All of that has to be a part of the process.
Correct.
Now you're no longer playing with it, but you're serious about your business.
Correct.
That is the difference between generational wealth, generational poverty. When you begin to look at what, and this is no disrespect, but what Caucasian people normally have is they have generations of wealth.
Correct.
That have been accumulated through execution and application of understanding who they are and how to do business.
And they have no problem with cutting them off.
And had a head start.
And had a head start.
400+ years of servitude.
And the thing when we got to realize that these people that we kind of looking up to, and these celebrities, that's all they is like just a celebrity. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're human just like us.
Yeah, and they're just there for, they're kind of like a distraction. Right. You know what I'm saying? And those are the anomalies. You know what I mean?
You
like,
are a puppet.
It's every, not even to put them out there like that. Yeah.
No, they're absolutely puppets.
A lot of them, like, I heard this earlier on my way here. They was like, they showed a picture of the Roc Nation brunch, like with Diddy and Jay and all that.
Beautiful.
And it's beautiful. Like, damn, like, any schools, like, you know what I mean? Hospitals, you know what I'm saying? Like, things where we can build on because other communities are doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And of course, yeah, they helping each other and helping with legal fees and all that. But at the same time, we helping with, like, Meek, he run around with criminal justice, but he's still putting a different type of narrative out there when he has enough ears to put a better message of music. You know what I'm saying?
We was just talking about that. Now, Freena and I was talking about the, like you said, like the different, like, what image are you setting?
Right.
Let's get you out of jail, but on the other token, I'm rapping about
going to jail.
Going to jail. Like, it's,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's deep.
So it's
but
tough.
I mean, Diddy school did just open. I think that it did open.
But he
today.
Got with the charter with
Steve Perry,
right. And that's another issue because that's another thing where
I heard that's bad.
It works, but then it hurts. You know what I mean? It hurts the public school because every child in the state of New Jersey, right? Like, the tax money goes to the children in the school.
Right.
So if the children ain't going, and then what Christie did, said every school gets the same amount of money.
Which they don't
really need because taxes in certain areas are higher, funding the schools and the things like that. And if we got low taxes and deadbeat owners that's not putting the taxes in, you know what I'm saying? Then
so it's not going to the schools.
It's not going to go to the schools, you know what I'm saying?
It's,
and then the police, they pay out settlements and shit, so that's taking money from the city. You know what I'm saying? And the schools and the teachers. You know what I mean? So
I believe, like, that's in my eyes, that was one of the main, like, one of the greatest and biggest focus for the whole Reclaiming Our Boys,
right?
Is because our big push came from once we started visiting schools, because I believe schools have failed. Because I mean, I remember when I was back in school, we had other programs.
Right.
Especially when I was in the city. When I moved to the township, it was just a whole different living out there.
Yeah.
But in the city, we had WENC, we had West Ward, we had, you know, churches involved, we had things to do.
Yeah.
But right now,
it just doesn't seem like there is.
Right.
Because
I remember we had the Big Brother, Big Sister program back in the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen it. I never been a part of it. But
it was there.
It almost was like it, like that died out.
Because it's the easiest way to. It's rough out here. You know what I'm saying?
These people that's
getting in charge, we just, you know,
aren't helping.
They're getting in there, they're getting voted in, and they probably are helping, but they're helping the people that's helping them.
Yeah.
And the ones that's holding them accountable.
So playing a part, almost like entertainers.
Yeah.
Shout out to 21 Savage. He just got released today, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point in terms of the legal fees and all that, what has to happen on that level, right? We've got to stop, like, making major situations out of minor shit.
Mm.
You got me? Mm. What Jay-Z did and what he's doing in terms of, like, they laid it out last night. You know, he's helped them. That's amazing. You're supposed to do that.
Absolutely.
But within other communities, they do that on the norm. That's the norm there, you know? Now, I want to be delicate here so I don't knock the brother. I think with Jay's an amazing individual.
Correct.
Period. You know, he's a global icon, does what he does, always looks back. But to both of your points, what are we building? You know, and what happens is when you, you know, you come to the level of Diddy and all of them, right? You almost run from the same community that you once were a part of.
Yeah.
You got me? And that's what you were building on earlier. You know, you come to a place where you're shining as an entrepreneur. You know, you're mega. Like, okay, for instance, so I'm a big Golden State fan, right?
Right.
And they did all this talking about what Kevin Durant did, you know, when he talked slick about where he's going to go next year, this and that, and they didn't want to talk. But he has like a 10-year investment in this school that he's built, you know, in terms of, I think it has 69 students who are going there for aftercare to help them prepare for college.
Okay.
And he's invested over $10 million into it.
And these things aren't spoke about.
No. So to me, that would be the work that we do. Now it's more controlled. It's something we put in. Can we go and build a new school system? I really don't see that happening. Because of the monumental weight that you're going to go through from these jokers who control the system keeping you out.
But what about, but what about now how they're like taking away the money from the schools? Like with this administration, they like, they don't give a fuck about education. You know what I mean? Like our education.
No, I agree, but this is how you conquer that. Have you ever been on Stuyvesant Avenue with Christina Sykes?
No.
That school, go past this. It's on Stuyvesant Avenue, right across from Trenton Psychiatric Hospital.
Okay, I know what's that.
Own independent school. Mm. She didn't take money from the state or the federal or nobody.
Mm.
She came in, and her school is self-funded by her network of millionaires and people.
Donors,
so she calls her own shot, does it the way she wants to do. It's state of the art. You need to go up there and do a tour of it.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Right.
My little nephew, PG son, he goes there.
Okay.
And all of the school is pristine. It's state of the art. Many of the teachers live on campus.
Nice.
Many, you know, some of the babies live on campus. Nice. You know, they just do things you can't do in a normal school atmosphere because they have the money.
Mm. Right.
Like in each classroom, there is a teacher and there's an assistant.
Wow.
We can go to trend schools right now, and I dare you to find that in many of the classrooms.
Wow. Unless it's one of the remedial classes.
Right. And then you're needing that basically for behavior issues.
Correct.
But in the teaching of Christina Sykes, these are all students who are moving forward. And the reason why they're so on top of their game is they have everything that they're supposed to.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Like, does that hurt our public school? Like, speaking of, like, schools, you know what I mean? We got the new Trenton High getting built.
We were just talking about that.
Man, was you inside this room,
bro? Because it opens next year.
Because it opens next year. And now it's twofold to it. It's like, all right, now, unfortunately, we got some of these young cats that, you know, doing whatever. So it's like, I don't think they're going to make it into that school because they have different alternatives. But the brightest and the ones that are achieving and excelling, it's like, do we need them in there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We need them for the test scores.
Right.
And we need them to set an example and put it where it need to be, like
right.
with the other rest
I'm
of the
I'm doing
the
I'm
thing.
Doing work with Superintendent McDowell, right? So we're getting ready to start having community forums.
Mm.
I'm going to be leading the discussions. Because you got to get back to doing just what you're talking about now. I even said the puppy dog, Darryl Young, the coach for Listen, the greatest talent isn't on the floor. It's in the streets. So to your point, we need all of that talent to align itself with where we're going. When you start talking about a community and when you start talking about a new school, if you don't get the village, which is everybody who's living here, to buy in, to be responsible, to play a part in making sure that school works, it's going to fail. So it has to come from leadership. It has to come from people in the community who have credibility in that area in terms of when we start having the discussions, when I'm talking to you, you're like, that's authentic. He know what he's talking about. That's real. You know, I can support that.
Right.
Our biggest problem is when you look at people who are often leading initiatives, you have no confidence in their competence. Like, this joke is really shot out. Like, what the fuck?
He's just in, right. in a different power.
He's getting a bag because right. this is their stepping point.
Right.
Like a lot of these cats, they come in here, and then when you get these jobs, when they're paying X amount of dollars, it's just to get there. I'm here 18 yeah. months, 2 years. I got to go to the next spot.
Correct.
So I go to the next spot.
Over at Trend Housing Authority, right, my executive director is amazing, right, from Atlantic City, Johnny Garrett. He said to me, he said, most times when we get behind people who will become elected officials, we're expecting them to get in office and do certain things.
Right.
But their whole objective of getting in office wasn't for that. Mm. So that's why when they get there, we get disappointed. Because we're like, yo, he going to get in, he going to do that. Nah. Their whole reason and rationale was to connect to other affluent people mm. and systems to empower themselves. Mm-hmm. And you see that happening. Their salary is right. They look out for their peoples. They move and maneuver to get a few people in places. Mm-hmm. But the substantial generational transformational change you're looking for rarely happens.
It's not happening.
Those mm-hmm. people don't go in with those intentions. That's yeah. why I was dangerous running, because they knew when I got in, it was on.
Yeah.
Like
right.
Because it's not right. bad when you hiring like-minded people.
Right.
So they hiring like-minded people mm-hmm. that's going, right. make sure we get through this. Right. And like if he get up, he going to bring me up.
Right. And one of the first things I said, and I still say it, as mayor, I was laying out that no building, no construction, no deals were being done unless on paper I saw an allotment to minority companies and our community. So nice. You had jobs and you had these minority companies being invested in.
Right.
So you saying you bring five major general contractors to the table and say, listen, this is how we doing it. You make sure you invest in them. And then you say, listen, you need to bring 15 XYZ. To 20 of these Facts. Young brothers, you know, whether they be ex-offenders, whomever they are, from the community to be a part of your workforce.
Nice.
You've got a $150 million school being built. You just had, within the last 5 years, a new courthouse being
right.
built. You just had the old courthouse be renovated. Did you see any of us on them jobs?
Nah.
Nah, so again, millions of dollars came in Trenton, but it wasn't given invested to Trenton. In the people of Trenton. Dude. And unless you have people sitting in those seats,
that's going to make that happen. It'll never happen. Because even with the new developments of the new apartments,
we were just talking about that.
On Monmouth.
Right.
It's a luxury apartment.
Right. And who is that for?
On Monmouth.
Who is that for?
The Watch Center or something like that. The Watch Center.
Something like that. And supposedly, some of them are supposed to have movie theaters.
Right. Nah,
gyms. They used to have like the little rental bikes where like the bikes in the community.
But who is that for?
Well, it's not
for
us.
Gentrified.
If they give, and then if you get in there.
We literally, that's literally what we were talking about.
He is connected all the
points. If you was to get in there. And you empower the community, then they can't get bought out.
Right.
And they want to buy us out this city.
Yeah.
Or at least buy us out East Trenton Wilbur section.
No, that's where it starts. And so you have to look
right
at
the school.
But also by
the train
what?
Station.
The train station.
You want train all station, of that. They've been major one highways. Of
chambers. But you will always be able to introduce something to people, right, about coming into a dilapidated, impoverished area, if you could say, well, listen, you're going to be in Trenton, but not really in Trenton. We can get you by the train station, so you in and out in a heartbeat.
Mm. Right.
You take the Uber, get to your home, come back.
You're safe.
Yeah. So it gets they're selling you something to say to you, listen, just hold on. We're going to make this real right yep. for you.
Route one, there.
And again, everything. When you begin to look on the local level, the crime hasn't been addressed. You know, the mayor hasn't put out a plan to put in a new police director, but the community has not required or asked questions of him. Now, if I'm sitting in that seat and the first one didn't work, they'd be calling for my head right now.
Right.
What's the plan?
Right.
What are you doing? Where are we at?
Because and you in the community. Right. So it's.
Right. Because the most important position in the city, other than the mayor, is your police director. Because when you begin to look at and take a snapshot for people outside the city, if they feel like it's dysfunctional and deadly, they're not coming here.
They're not coming here.
I got two questions, right?
Yes, sir.
One is, well, it's probably like three. But how, because I saw at one point, I might have misread it, but you support the mayor or support him at certain times after.
Which one?
Was it Gorsuch?
Gussior?
The mayor of Trenton right now.
Right.
Yeah, like you guys, it's... Do you still support him
You have to, because here's the science of it. Somebody said it on TV one time. If he loses, we lose. I'm supporting his winning. I don't support most of his initiatives. Like lately, like last week, they had something like the New York or something. They was with the pig or something like that. Come on, man. Whatever they had downtown with the festival. Mm-hmm. I'm good with you doing what you do if that's where you see the city need to go.
But right.
For me, our main focus has to be on the educational systems, mm-hmm. and it has to be on the economic development. Because mm-hmm. when we deal with those particular areas, public safety, crime, and all of that will resolve itself. Mm-hmm. If you educate, it's why you stay on your son the way you do, right? Mm-hmm. You want to move in a path where you're empowering yourself. If you have education and economic development to be able to take care of yourself and your family, crime ain't on your mind.
Yeah, I mean, we only do crime because we need money and stuff like that. Like, nobody wakes up to just want to go do crime. You know what I mean? But also, speaking of crime, what's the radio station you got?
WIMG.
Yeah, with AM, PM.
You got 1300 AM.
1300 AM.
Yeah, every days. Friday night.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because I read that you had the interim not appointed woman on your show.
Oh, the police director.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had her on because what I wanted to do was give her a platform to speak. You know, she had been talked about in the press. She really hadn't talked in the press. So I said, listen, I'm going to give you a platform on my show and you show them why they should pick you. You know, I threw questions to her, which were open-ended, and gave her an opportunity to lay out her vision. Mm-hmm. Now, she didn't particularly do that, and people saw it for what it was. But what I wanted to do was give her the platform to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And, so, you know, and to me, it's like almost on here. If you invite me to come on, and I sit here and be like, well, Free, what do you think about the schools?
Yeah.
Yeah. Free, what do you think about economic development?
Okay.
Do you think that some of it was because of how she was portrayed and how they already had her, like, down and out, especially when I read
I'm not some gonna knock her.
The supposed not, the new his, director,
his, yeah, his, oh, the part about her wanting some of the IA,
right?
Like some of the IA shit.
You've
like,
got to put yourself into a position where you can be successful. If you ask me right now, if you gave me the opportunity to be the police director, right? I know the community. I know a lot of the gang affiliations. I know the civic associations. If you offered me that job, man, I would love to have that $120,000 salary. I would turn it down. I'm not prepared for that job. I'm not qualified to do that job.
Okay.
So you have to do some soul searching when things are brought to you and make sure you're best qualified to do the position you're going for. And in my perspective, she's a good woman, just wasn't ready. And we get behind people in our city simply because they look like us. You know, we want to win. What we say all the time in Reclaiming Our Boys, this city needs to win. And we need to cheer. But you have to say to yourself, again, like if you was talking to me and I'm the mayor, I used to free, you know, I need to get on, man. I'm trying to work. I wouldn't put you as the public works director. It's not what you do, bro. You don't know anything about the mechanics of that job, what it requires. So you would not only fail yourself, you would fail your family, you fail the community, and the city as a whole.
And employees
underneath your purview, yeah. Right, because you don't have the expertise, not meaning you can't get it. So if I really wanted to do a service for you, I would bring in somebody qualified to do it, put you under them, and let you inhale and learn all the knowledge, experience, knowledge they have.
Put you in a position to learn.
Right. That's how you do
that. That you can take with you.
Right.
So if, all right, my job is four to eight years. So regardless of how you do this job, we're gonna try to do it the best we can. But if not, we can take this to another, you know what I mean?
Correct.
To
another level. At my current job now, it was a brother who was my supervisor, real cool brother. And every time I did something wrong or I was on my BS when it came to either me being on my phone, because I'm in the call center, me being on my phone, me being late, something I said wrong to a customer, he would take me to another room and he'd tell me, he'd be like, listen, this is what happened. I want you to be here for us. not for me,
right?
Not for you, but for us and anyone who looked like us on the floor.
Right.
He was like, so this is where you went wrong. I just need you to be careful. Right. He was like, you gonna do what you wanna do.
Right.
You gonna be on your phone where you wanna be on your phone. Just be discreet about it.
Right.
I need you to pick up your attendance.
Right.
And what you said on the call here, it was fine with me, but I'm not the final judgment.
Right.
So he was like, and then he was like, learn as much as you want.
Right.
Like, learn as much as you can, learn as much as you want. Still to this day, he calls me because he's no longer with the company. Are you still learning? How, like, where are you at?
Nelly Fuller say, they be like, how you doing? Still learning.
Still learning, yeah. Like, where are you at within the company? And I tell him where I'm at. All right,
I learned that mentality from my man Muscles, right? Who Tony Mack brother. Came to, he was working in the water department with us, just like going back 10 plus years. He was like, Freedom, when I come anywhere, I come in there to learn to lead. And I was like, yo, that's powerful.
Word.
He was like, I come in to take over. I come in to watch everybody who's running things so at some point I can do it myself.
Correct.
And he ended up becoming a supervisor down there. And that's kind of the mentality I take everywhere I go. Like where I'm at now, my executive director. He young, right? But he knows the corporate world of Trenton Housing Authority and moving millions of dollars as a corporation. But he also got knowledge himself, so he knows streets, he knows people. And he like, listen, when you around me, I'm going to teach you how to do everything. When I exit stage left, you can be able to move into that seat. That's how he teaches you.
By my recommendation.
He's an amazing brother. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring him down here so he can be on here one time because he's super sharp.
I'm definitely with it.
And you need people like that, right? And what I learned about him, right, because he's not from Trenton, he don't have that culture of pettiness. Like, I've been living here for 50 years. Mm. Nobody gave me a spot or a shot because of my personality, because of how I move. Most people think I'm coming in and take over.
50 laws of power, never outshine a master. Yeah. Got you.
So when I came there, I've been there about 2 years, right? So he put me in a spot. Then I was doing outreach. He was like, just hold on, I got you. Let me put things where it need to be. Then I moved. First, I was doing consulting work. Then I was doing outreach. Then he put me in, like, services where we were doing working with the people. Now I'm third in command. It's the executive director, it's the deputy, then it's me.
Right.
And I've been there 2 years. And it puts me in a position where I control all the buildings in terms of security. But, like, last week I took two of the older babies down to the unemployment spot, right, and I was able to get them some workforce development.
Okay.
So all them jokers that's in the project, right, you know how they are. I had them either in detention or in school. They listen to me. So I'm able to move them into a space and place where they're learning about themselves and moving the community forward. Because if you don't engage them young minds and show them how to be men and then how to be civilized,
the streets going to raise
them to be straight gladiators, and they're going to be in and out of the detention. So when I talk to them, I said, listen, you're not detained physically, but your mind is locked in a 6x9 cell. So you're moving back and forth, but everything you're doing is calculated. It's only a matter of time before they come get you.
You know,
boom.
You know what's tough about it is, it's some of our peers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the parents. And it's like, when I log into my Facebook, I see it's not as bad as the kids, but at times it's just like looking at some really young people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we gotta stop idolizing the bullshit too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right, we gotta get knowledge itself on our own, you know what I'm saying? And stop, like you said, the pettiness. You know what I'm saying? Bro. Because even back to like the politics, you know what I'm saying? Like, people won't. Or right now, argument is going on about the lady Kamala Harris or about how black she is, well, how they trying to spin it when it's really the policies and this, that, and the third. But we'll get, or like with the Grammys, with Nicki and Cardi, it's like the pettiness, like we can't do both.
Right. And you know what I'm saying? And the outpour was just show love.
Like. Yeah, like show love to your children.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, bro. Give you the jewel on that. We have never, as a people, black, right, addressed the 400 plus years of being enslaved. So we've never dealt with the devils of that. So you can come somewhere, and the first thing that we do is start to compete. Right. We could be somewhere talking, right? Yo, man, like me and you talk, man. You see Jamal go past, man, that's a nice car. Yeah, but this girl off the hook. Like, yo, bro. What?
I'm talking about his car, not his girl.
But the first thing come to your surface, your thought, your soul, is something negative. Because we have never recovered. Why do you know that? In slavery, when we were enslaved, your very survival was based on you keeping the slave master off your heels. Mm. How did you do it? You threw your own people underneath the bus. Mm. So you consistently and constantly were focused on destroying each other instead of building each other. So to your point, you can come to an award show and people who should be supporting, who should be loving, who should be helping, first thing they do is come at each other. Like, it's all the time. Like, why can't Cardi B and Nicki both be great and we love both? Why it got to be a competition?
Right. You know, especially for women.
Right.
Because it ain't for us.
Right. But the first thing we do is find some angle to make them go against each other. Like, nah, I think she's great. I think she's great.
In her own right.
In their own right.
In the DJ community in the city, we have...
Same thing.
We have... You can say a certain group or a certain all of us get along. You get what I'm saying?
I see all the DJs.
So when a DJ would DJ a party and you would see the chitter chatter, it's just like, don't bring that shit to me. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me. Don't tag me. Yeah, don't tag me and ask me, well, why didn't they book you? I don't know. My bro held it down. Right. Don't ask me why I wasn't booked. So it's along the same lines because it's wrong. But I always say that we are our own worst enemies. Like, we'll do anything for a laugh. So we'll create the meme. We'll create, you get what I'm saying? Oh, Big J won a Grammy. He was crying on the stage. That's how I see it happening. When I win one, yes, I'm going to cry. A meme will be created about our people.
Right.
Our people to say, oh, he crying on stage.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's the social media shit. And
anything for a laugh.
That goes back to the celebrity part. That's what got us fucked up.
Right.
Kick us down.
We want to be... with them, so we go broke trying to look like a celebrity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We emotional. Right. We feel like a celebrity. We
not
put
knowing
our
they get
feelings,
this shit free.
We're fully vested. we're fully vested in a whole nother motherfucking
life.
Facade.
Smoke and mirrors.
Because
baby.
If you look at most of them, they not even, they don't even have the money. And one thing I like about social media, because it's a gift and a curse, so get knowledge. And then it'll have you lost in the zone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your whole existence.
You eventually
going to
slip up.
Unless you know what it is and what it's there for.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I saw this shit the other day when another young rapper, got a car. It was like, Birdman Cash Money bought Blueface a Porsche. And then motherfucker said, no, Blueface bought Blueface a Porsche. Because he got to pay that money back.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So...
this is
once we understand that the celebrity shit is just a distraction, and
this is
because the ones that are really putting in work, and the ones that are really saying stuff, and the ones that are really like giving you like making you think and stuff like that, they're not promoting them.
They're not promote right.
And then with music, it's one of the easiest things, like indoctrination.
Correct.
It comes all the time. So we're getting fed this negativity and this bullshit over and over and over and over. We live it. You know what I mean? So it's the nasty music, the nasty food, the nasty living arrangements. It's going to come out.
Crazy. I say one of the lessons I am going to teach the babies with Reclaiming Our Boys is learn from Tekashi, learn from 21 Savage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a coincidence in my eyes. It's not a coincidence that when both went public with changing their lives, 21 Savage, I'm no longer buying jewelry. I'm no longer doing this. I'm no longer doing that. All of a sudden, he's deported.
Right.
Or quote unquote
right.
deported.
Right.
Tekashi, Breakfast Club.
No, Tekashi's
It's different, but when he was on the Breakfast Club, though, bro, when he did that interview on the Breakfast Club, when he wasn't doing anything silly or goofy, He wasn't talking stupid. He actually said, "Yo, I'm firing everybody. I'm going straight. I'm not doing it
already." Like he probably,
yeah. You right?
He's done already.
They was on. They was on. They was definitely on his heels already.
To know that,
but it's but it's but it's
got the mother cats that morning.
Once you portray yourself to being this person,
well, they coming for you.
You now you have to be that person. Like I see it all the time when I DJ suburban events. This is all they want to listen to.
Right.
They are more up on the ratchet and new hip hop more than I am. They're telling me, "Yo, I want to hear this. I want to hear this. I want to hear this." And I'm looking at these
because you know what?
The polo button up, khaki shorts, boat shoes.
And they gonna say, "MAGA, build that wall tomorrow.
Turn up."
Right.
Turn up, little daddy, cool. I'm about
They're denied access that in their world.
Right.
Because the people who are adults, who are, you know, the ones who are essentially shaping them, won't allow them to live and think like that. Because they recognize it's counterproductive to listen to madness all day long and begin to think you can build from that.
Okay.
So, like, now when you look at the music industry, all of the conscious rap and artists and entertainers have been driven underground. That's you cannot go mainstream and be talking about anything that's constructive or productive. They shut that down.
ASAP.
They shut that down. You're not, like, our era was, you know, what drew me to the fire was Rakim. You know,
absolutely.
Planet Earth, my place of birth, born to be the sole control of the universe. I was like,
he just said the science,
you know. So when you start hearing that, it moves you in a certain degree. And when I was moving around the community, I'm a young man, you know, going to Notre Dame, I walking past, I heard a brother say, "Well, listen, I'm trying to tell you, not understanding what I'm saying because you won't be quiet. Sound travels at 1,120 feet per second, and the vibrational rate of it has the ability to have substance. So when you listen to Public Enemy, you ready to fight because of the energy within the circumference of what they building." Yo. And these were regular brothers in the community. But when you saw our community reflected, because they made us be studious, which made us value education. The young brothers that taught me, K-Bar, he was like, "Listen, don't bring me no report card without being on honor roll. Because you can't tell me light travels at 186,000 miles per second and be getting D's and F's in your report cards. Right. No, that don't make can't give me high science. And then you can't master basic science." Nah.
I remember you said that in a meeting. You were saying, like, it was a time, a point where once you start kicking knowledge and science, or quote unquote doing that, you were checked on it.
Right. And where do you see
and
that
you
doing
couldn't
now?
Move.
Nah, man. You, like, if you came out and you didn't know today's mathematics, you really couldn't come outside,
cities,
man.
Some cities, that's like,
you
like
know,
back
that's
in the day,
gospel.
It was crazy. Like,
and
you know what? The music definitely got away from that. You know what I mean? And yeah.
Everybody's a Wu fan, but don't understand what Wu was really talking about.
Right.
Yeah, but it was deeper than Wu.
From my knowledge, Wu
really globalized it because of how they were able to move. But if you watch them, their initial movement was really fostered by and aligned with who? Papa Wu.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the God Freedom of Law.
Yeah.
Because he was sound and sure within the circumference of his lesson. He was teaching them. You know, he didn't want to come on a couple of their rhymes and he dropping it.
Right.
You know, so that's the power of the five. Like, a lot of the brothers in the Wu really have never been to the parliament.
Okay.
You know, but like, you'll find, you could tell the ones who studious, like Chizza, RZA. I've seen RZA at the parliament a few times. Master Killer.
Man.
The ones whose lyrical content, you can hear it, you know they in it. You know what I mean?
And you can hear it more now or you can hear it if you knew the lessons.
I wish I would have paid more attention to my big brother Knowledge when he would try to kick it to me. Like he would break down the signs. He would like break down why his name is Knowledge, why his favorite number was 1.
I used to be in Patterson.
While my address broke down 1 or while we linked up.
So
but like that's big bros. So now that's definitely beautiful. But Free, let's talk about how they bringing the feel back, man. Trent High has a DJ now. Trent High, some of the Trent High home
what
games.
What happens is we were somewhere at a game And Miss Grady, you know, who's the athletic director, she was like, yo, that DJ is hot. I was like, yeah, it is. You should bring that to Trinidad. And what happened was she did it for the weekend because, like, I think she may be, I'm not sure. Certain games, like for the CVC, she can't do it because the rules prohibit that.
Right.
But, like, if you watch the weekend games that we did with Philly and who else did we play? Like, we played a couple teams
some good games.
Yeah, who weren't in the CVC. She was able to bring the DJ. And like you said, it was, like, part crazy in there. Yeah. It was that energy was there. The music brings it to a whole nother level because now, you know, you're a DJ. You've been to the park before. People feed off of that. Like, you're playing it in between timeouts. You're playing it, you know, can't play it during the game, but it just brings that fire. Like, yeah, we was in there chanting the whole night.
That's when we met at. We met at Cowood Park when they was having the summer games. Yeah. And Free was on the mic. He was, you know what I mean? Peace King, you got the mic.
I'm like,
I said, dang, I didn't know I had to bring one, but yeah, I got the one. The wireless mic, and he was talking his talk. But it's beautiful to see that, like, that's dope, bro.
Yeah,
like,
the atmosphere.
It's way different.
It's nice.
It's changing.
It's
nice. And let me just say this. What made Trenton powerful back with the park, right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, you knew you was touching the city. You came to that one location, all four sides. And although we had beefs, which still exist now today, you put that to the side because you wanted to see them women. And you want to see that the games, that atmosphere.
So
I heard brothers like, nah, man, like leave that alone, bro. We come see these women and this game. It's gonna be live up here, and people were able to touch each other four nights a week.
Right
now, when you look throughout the city, there's really no medium for that to occur. You are more inclined to hurt what you're not touching. When you touch and interact and be around, you build an acknowledgement. So when you deal with the science of knowledge, which your brother was talking about, the first mathematical principle is knowledge, right? But the first manifestation of knowledge is to acknowledge. We've always had respectful relationships because we acknowledge each other. I respect you, brother. I respect you, brother. That's the first step. We may not agree on nothing else beyond that. But if we acknowledge and respect each other's existence, it lays the foundation for building. And when you're not around each other doing that, you give grace and you give opportunity to chaos and confusion because I'm not acknowledging
you. Right. Right. Shout out to Bart the Ripper because he was the DJ there. Shout out to Pup, Dow. That's them technically come my uncle.
Shout out to Trent High.
I like the way that it's going. I like the movement. I like the vibe of Trenton. I like the feeling of Trenton especially when it comes to music, when it comes to art. Shout out to honestly, I'm going to chalk it up to he got signed. Then you seen the turn up from artists from everywhere, like
I think just keeping an eye, like looking and caring more about what the artists are doing and making, and what Ooh did was make these other cats step up,
and then he didn't kick step in the up. Young boys' backs, like he backed Ken Love, he backed Trey Bando,
yeah,
he checked I'm going to say his name wrong, I think it's Slang something, Trey Twiz, he backed them, he got on board with them, but that also he got the song out with Gilly and Javier. He got Riley, who's a DJ and producer from Trenton. He got the single with him and Chrome. He always asked me, Jay, let me hear something. He know, like, it's, you kind of, you're put in that position to where you push forward. Like even Tuck, same way. Tuck dropping things. He dropping songs.
That shit was dope. He got the dance and shit.
He keeping it moving. He got the fashion line coming. I like the move. I like the way Trenton is moving.
Yeah, me too. And I just
wish Trenton had a building. We need a building.
It's the politics, man.
I want Rio.
Because I look at this. I think it's a politics.
I want Rio,
right?
Bro.
Be crazy.
Because
crazy.
Well, it's two things. Like when we had Rio, at times that shit didn't do nothing. The times it popped, it did good. And at times when the bullshit happened,
none of it went to us. That's why I said I want Rio.
Oh, but, yeah. But that's true. We gotta get the bag right.
And then you can have it. To acquire a building is a process.
Right.
And we need to go through that process and educate ourselves in the process so that when we get the building, we're prepared to have it.
Right.
Too many people grab spaces, right, and then just run with it, not knowing all the dynamics of business, not knowing how to deal with day-to-day clientele, when to be open. Like right now, if I'm going to get real deep, we're working in the housing authority to develop a pace where we can have almost like what they got on New York Avenue, a rental spot. We need that in our community.
Yeah.
Every time we do an event, who we got to go see?
We got somebody else.
Spanish or something, I mean. Right.
Somebody
so
else.
So whether it's on Route 33 or New York Avenue, we need a spot where you can come and do your function. We party every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or we do a cabaret. Or sorority fraternity does a dance. Or you're doing an awards mm-hmm. banquet.
But we got to go to the firehouse. Right. We got to go
to the pay Wild Bird for Kathmandu.
So we're building over there with my executive director. The thought process is to build our own event center. And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to be doing Wednesday night fish sandwiches. No, nah. It is strictly going to be
and it's strictly
for
business,
events.
Yeah.
Right.
And strictly business, state-of-the-art chefs, state-of-the-art catering. So you bring it in, and that's all we do. Like, really, I already told him, I said, listen, I know Sakina do what she do.
Right.
Bring her in, let her cater all it, so you're getting the best. Because what you want to do with our people, right, is you want to give them the best, period.
Right.
You want to come in and have a pristine layout when you do your event. Mm-hmm. You want the sound, like we'll bring you in, do the sound. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
The sound system has to be pristine. What you need for us to do that? You know what I mean?
Right.
So now everything is top of the line. You're not getting up.
Right.
Nah, everything has to be top of the line.
And right.
then we keep our money within our community where if you do an event, certain price outside the community, it's a different price. But within us, we know we have a space and a place where you can get great food, great service, great space, great event, and you're gonna brag about it when it was done. Even the photographer, same people. Mm-hmm. State of the art, man.
Right, right.
Everything
right.
state of the art.
I love like it's
because we gotta build a Black Wall Street, and
we have to.
Yo, this
hey,
city.
What time we rapping?
We about to be done.
Okay,
you know. And in this city, we is a perfect opportunity. Cause
right now.
Right now.
It's prime.
It's prime.
So, but to Jay's point, if we don't do it now.
Somebody else will do it.
No, I'm going to give him deep. In a moment, we won't be able to do it.
Oh. Right.
Because those coming in with gentrification, first thing they do is outprice everything. So you can't live. You can't afford to live where you grew up at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. Right look, above us, there's a seafood spot.
Right.
That just opened up. Black owned, black operated, just black movement. It's Trent Prime. We have 439 South Broad Street, right next to Trent Social, right across from the arena. You don't have to go to those other spots for your seafood platters no more.
Well, yeah. And then at the same time, right, is you can, there is good places to go in the city.
Right.
It's, and we're building some of the brands, you know what I'm saying? Like
right.
some of the places, we do got some established. Shout out to Regal One.
Right.
And down.
Regal One at all.
Down. I forgot the name, but you know, by around the corner from Rio. You know what I'm saying?
1911.
You got the Smokehouse.
Smokehouse.
You know yeah. Now we got Prime up
we
here.
We got Prime
you know
upstairs.
Man?
You
like,
got
you got Mad Brothers selling platters out here. Support them. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Illamae is reopened, right?
Illamae.
It's Ulubala's.
But at the same time, we got to take care of our community.
Right.
As far as their health, too.
Right.
So I used to always see you in the juice bar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We got to start taking care. We need some bookstores. You know
we
what
do.
I'm saying?
We do.
We need to. We
but you're going to have to change the whole layout of downtown to do that.
Is it a bookstore downtown?
I'm doing that right. That's like New Brunswick rebuilt itself.
Mm.
If you think about it. New Brunswick used to be worse than Trenton.
Oh, yeah.
But they rebuilt their whole city, essentially the downtown, around what?
College.
The college.
I'm there.
Build around the college, right? A certain mentality constantly comes into your
yeah.
city. They're not disruptive. They're not destructive. They can't afford a law. So when they come somewhere, they know how to act. They civilize and they're intentional with their investment because what you're going into is what you deal
highly
with on a
policed.
Daily. Right.
Highly
so
policed.
When we go deal like down, you got cigar spots. You got all like the things you're talking about.
Yeah.
You can have all of that, but you have to change the economic reality of the city. most people living here now couldn't really flourish if we brought it there. It has to be a movement where right. we empower and elevate the people here so they can really empower and elevate themselves.
Free, do you have any closing statements, my brother?
I'm first and foremost, I'm thankful for the opportunity. I got to come back and drop some jewels because we ain't touch on half the stuff we want to touch on.
I want jobs.
Yeah. Definitely talk about that next time. But reclaiming our boys. It is in a movement where you have men of this city who are just invested. Well, men from all over. Who are coming together. We're meeting every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Prospect Village Community Center, and we're working on mentoring young boys from the ages of 13 to 19. It is an opportunity to allow them to build themselves, to find themselves, to find themselves. And for the men who've said, who's going to stop the killing? Who's going to stop the disruption? Who's going to stop this right. generation from destroying itself? We have to do that.
We launch on the 28th, by the way.
We launch on the 28th.
So Thursdays at 7. I was going to get with you on it.
No
Thursdays
doubt.
Thursdays at 7.
Yeah, not this week. Next week we meet.
Okay. The 21st, and then 21st. We launch on the 28th.
We launch okay. on the 28th.
Everything is, we do a background check. I did do my no background doubt. Check. We don't care about your background. As long as there's no Megan laws, there's nothing that involves, you know, sexual behavior, pedophiles.
That's all we look for. Committed to these children.
Don't lock in if you're not going to be committed.
Right.
Because one of the greatest disappointments for the babies coming up is to have somebody they connect with, engage with,
and you're not there.
And then you disappear on them. That has been a nightmare.
That's broken many hearts.
Right.
Many hearts. Community. So we have many people of different backgrounds, different ages. We have people who have walked the path, went left and came right. We have people who walked the path, went right. We have people who are still finding their path. Young, old, middle age. Everyone has a story. Everyone can relate right. to someone. And we're actually all taking a mental health class, mental health right. training class
right.
to be able to handle, you know, those serious I want to kill myself.
Right.
Like,
it's, yeah,
like what do you tell her? What do you tell a young king? Yeah. Like
shout
me myself,
Carlos.
I've personally dealt with suicide,
right.
and depression,
right.
and anxiety. So I know. We all suffer from some type of mental
Absolutely.
Disorder, whether it's acknowledged
or
not.
We're broken people.
We're broke.
And it was reclaiming our boys going to try to heal our.
Right. It was actually one of the babies at one of the meetings.
Yeah.
Remember, he stood up. We were talking about the course. We were talking about who was going to give it to us. We were talking about the reality of it and what it entailed. One of the babies at the meeting stood up and said, listen, a lot of us are dealing with trauma and pain. Mm. He said, and we mask it by taking pills, by drinking, smoking. He said, we need y'all to take that course. Man, I got fooled, bro.
Dang.
And that's coming from one of the kids.
He said it with a thought. He was like, yo, we need y'all to take that course.
Because
he laid out.
That probably
would
have had my little allergies acting
up. I'm like, yo. And he said it
that's
from a
powerful.
Place.
You know, what, you place know where he said it from.
And he was like speaking for that generation. And that's what we need to be.
We need that.
So again, shout out to Kimmy Carlos, who's going to be teaching
I'll
us the course.
I'll be there
and
7 o'clock.
We all, if you're in the inner city in any capacity, you're dealing with some form of mental health, some form of trauma, some form of pain.
Absolutely.
You can't help people grow until they're whole.
And we plan on taking this to all of the cities. We're not just leaving it in
Trenton. We want to start here. And
we want to go Camden.
Yeah.
We want to go. And it's not just black.
Mm-mm.
Nah.
It's
nah.
everybody.
If you're
it's,
a man, you're invited.
If you're a man, you're invited.
Yeah,
if, you're,
absolutely.
If you're a teen boy, you're
it's,
invited.
At the end of the day, these are our children.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The only people is the ones in power that got us thinking that this other shit means something. You know what I mean? Because
if we don't,
we got
it
these,
won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is.
So we good.
All right. Well, Town Podcast. You know what I mean? This is it.
Hey, plug the radio show again.
Oh, we on WIMG 1300 on the AM dial on the real radio every Friday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Tune in.
Nice, yeah, my man. Nice. Freedom Grady.
Check us out. Town Podcast. I forgot what episode.
Man, this is this is the gems episode, bro. Right. The key 100 with you.
We
but
come back next time. We're gonna talk about economic development, workforce development. Because to your point, if we're not addressing that, you leaving people out there.
Yeah.
Got you. Pete, hold your head, bro. We here with you.
Salute, Pete. All
right.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.